Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope that you had a good night and ready to go for this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, Psalm 122, verse 6. A familiar verse, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. Well, many of us have been praying for Israel, especially since October 7th when Hamas launched that brutal, satanic, evil beyond measure attack against innocent civilians. And Israel has been at war with Hamas and Gaza ever since. And for many of us, you know, it's one of those things, the longer it goes on, we tend to put that out of our minds. We're not thinking about it like we should be. I am guilty of that too. And I've been praying a lot for Israel, but we wanted to check in with our good friend, Dr. Gary Frazier. He keeps his finger on the pulse of Israel. And Gary Frazier is an author, a speaker, the founder of Discovery Ministries International, a prophecy expert, and he is one who has been to Israel 155 times. Is that right, Gary?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, a lot.
a lot. So, okay, so yeah. Gary, give us the update. What's going on in Israel? I've been reading about attacks now coming from the north.
Well, Jeff, as you well know, today is 165 days into this conflict, and I think the thing that all of us have to be reminded about is that, number one, this is a spiritual battle. It is God versus Satan. I mean, that's just what this boils down to, because the goal of the terrorist organizations, both Hamas, of course, obviously the PLO, Hezbollah in Lebanon, is a total destruction of the nation of Israel and the extermination of the Jewish people. And having said that, what we're seeing right now in this phase of this conflict, they are today just launched a massive strike, that is, the Israelis did, against Khan Yunis, the home of one of the commanders of Hamas, to try, because Israel knows they have to clean this situation out. Otherwise, they'll just be doing this again in a few months later. In addition to that, we're seeing a number of airstrikes taking place deep into northern Syria, hitting trade routes that the Iranians use to funnel weapons, et cetera, into Lebanon and into Syria, rather, to be used against Israel. And so we have two things happening. One, they're hitting into Lebanon in the northern part, which Nasrallah and Hezbollah are trying to, you know, they're going to retaliate. There's no question about that, and they have been doing so. But then also hitting into Syria as well. In fact, the Russians are claiming that Israel, along with Syria as well, claiming that Israel hit some facilities very near Damascus. But the thing that I would like to say today, Jeff, is this. I would like for our listeners to understand this. We are on the threshold of a war prophesied 2,500 years ago in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. So few believers today, and I know it's a broad sweeping statement, but it's just based on my experience of preaching across the country, you know, just about every weekend. And the bottom line is, so few believers today have actually read the book of Ezekiel and understood chapters 38 and 39. There are three future conflicts to take place in the Middle East, and the one that is looming here is this Russian-led Islamic invasion of Israel. Now, I realize there are people who believe and teach that when they read this passage, that the nations that are named, starting with Gog of Magog, which is a reference to the head of the land that we now know as Russia, along with the Muslim nations that are mentioned, Persia, which became the Republic of Iran in 1935, and then the other following nations have a common denominator, and that is they're all Islamic. Now, having said that, there are people who say, well, what's going to happen here is, because the near enemies of Israel, that is Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, they're not named in that same passage, so they believe there's going to be a time of peace that Israel will win this war. There'll be a time of peace, and then later on down the line somewhere, this war will take place. And they base that whole premise on the fact that it says twice in Ezekiel 38 that Israel is living in a land without bars and walls and living in peace and safety. And they don't understand that the Hebrew term there does not mean an absence of the possibility of danger. It simply means that in a relative sense, they are living in peace. And when you look at where the Jewish people came from in 1948, being the target everywhere all over the world, but finally having their own state as a result of the Holocaust and the loss of 6 million Jewish lives, Israel now has the second greatest military, I believe, on the face of the earth. And so they are living in relative peace, but no one today lives in a total absence of any possibility of danger or threat. Having said all that, I'm convinced that that position is not valid, and that, in fact, what we're looking at is for the first time in 2,500 years, an exact coalition of the nations named in Scripture have formed themselves against Israel. And here's the exciting thing to me. You know, every day I pray that Jewish people would come to understand that Jesus was and is and always will be the Messiah. Mm-hmm. I pray for them because the Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8, that two-thirds of all the Jews living in the land of Israel will perish in the seven-year tribulation period. I talk about that in my latest book called The Event, The Dream of World Peace Realized. And that's all about the tribulation period, what happens following the departure of the bride of Christ, the church. But here's what's exciting to me as I pray for them, and as I pray for the Palestinian Muslims as well, mm-hmm. because many of them are turning to faith in Christ, and we pray that a great revival will take place in the hearts and lives of these people. Having said that, what's so exciting is that I am thoroughly persuaded after 50-plus years of being a student of Scripture that the Church of Jesus Christ is about to hear the trumpet blast and to be called up to meet the Lord in the air and taken to the place where Jesus promised in John 14 that he would prepare a place for us. And that is a specific promise for those who have by faith trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not about those who are sinless or without fault, because none of us are, but about those of us who have faith just simply said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've broken your laws. Please forgive me, come into my life, save me, change me, and prepare a home for me. And God promised that he would do that. And so I'm excited about every single day because, as I tell people, everywhere I go, I was preaching this last weekend up in northern part of, Brandon, Florida, near the Tampa area. And I just said, remember what I always say, maybe today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps today. Okay, now along those same lines, Gary, we have a lot of people that are getting pretty excited about this total eclipse of the sun, and we're supposed to have East Texas and Western Arkansas supposed to have something like 1.5 million people flood into these small areas to see the total eclipse of the sun, and they try and equate it with biblical prophecy in the last days and all that. What's your answer to that?
Well, here's the thing. People have been doing this for as long as I can remember, and long before me, going all the way back to the Millerites in the 1800s, who went out and, you know, sold their properties, gave up their lives, went out and put on a white robe, sat on a hill, waiting, expecting Jesus to come because of, you know, misinformation. And here's the thing. I think all of us in recent times will remember the blood moons, right? Mm-hmm. So there are preachers who went crazy, wrote books, sold DVDs, and all, and people jumped all over that. Listen, I have a good friend, and he has a ministry called Day 4 Astronomy, and they're great folks, and you ought to check them out. But that said, while this is an event that people into astronomy and so forth are looking forward to, in my humble, let me say this, in my humble but accurate opinion, this has nothing to do with the coming of Jesus, okay?
Right.
The bottom line is that we know that there are, that God speaks of signs in the heavens and so forth and so on. But the bottom line is no man knows the day nor the hour. But what we do know is we study the Word of God, we find that there's a chronology there with regard to the order of events, not the timing of the events. And so today we stand on the threshold of that trumpet blast and Jesus coming for his bride because, not because we know a day or an hour, but because we can watch. You know, again, 1 Chronicles 12:32 says the men of Israel, of the tribe of Issachar, were men who understood the times in which they lived and they knew what Israel ought to do. And I believe that there is a group of Bible-believing, serious students of the faith who understand that we truly are the terminal generation and that Jesus is coming. And that should motivate us to be people of prayer, people of boldness to share our faith in a spirit of love, and to realize that, you know, this world is not going to continue as people think that it is. As there was a Genesis, there is a Revelation. Mm-hmm. As there was a beginning, there is an end. And so these are exciting times, I'm telling you.
Gary, what do you see happening with America as it relates to the tribulation in the last days?
Well, we know, first of all, that America is not mentioned in Scripture. There's over 10,000 websites that people have tried to prove that America is mentioned in there. They take the Ezekiel chapter 38, for example, and it mentions the nation of Cush, and people say the Cushites were that the America is mentioned in Scripture because the Cushites were tall, slim, trim people. Well, first of all, that doesn't apply to America anymore, having said that, since obesity rages in our country. And I'm about to have a donut myself here in a minute. But having said that, look, here's the deal. America's dying. You know, I wrote a book entitled The Great Divorce a few years ago. It's available on Amazon. But at the end of World War II, everything in America changed. And we started on this downhill trend that has been picking up steam ever since. And it just reminds us that Jesus said, when he talked about, you know, ethnic strife and war and famine and pestilence, all those things, he said all these are the beginning of the birth pains. In other words, there is an increase in frequency and intensity, and that's what we've been experiencing since World War II. Now, our younger generation really doesn't have a real historical frame of reference, let alone a biblical frame of reference, to grasp these things. They've grown up in a different culture, etc. And I have to say, my good friend Dr. George Barna's research just reveals today that, and you know this, Jeff, you've talked about this as well, that the fastest growing demographic in America is the nunners. Mm-hmm. And that is, they have no interest in religion. They have no interest in God. They're largely just totally biblically ignorant. And these are the kind of people that, sadly, you'll see marching in the streets of America screaming, you know, from the river to the sea, which is a genocidal statement aimed at the total extermination of the Israeli and the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything happening, and it's into that kind of world. And Jeff, I just want to say this clear for our listeners. It is into that kind of a world here in America, specifically, where four times in the book of Matthew, Jesus names signs only one time except for one, and four times he says, watch out that no man deceives you. We have the greatest deception taking place right now in the United States of America that the world has ever seen. Every institution, up to and including, and let me be careful how I say this, up to and including some churches, we have the greatest deception the world has ever. Every branch of government, every form of our culture that we have at some point in time placed confidence or trust in, that's gone. Mm-hmm. That's history. That ship has sailed. You can't believe anything you read. You can't believe any person that stands up and speaks for the most part. And that's why it's imperative today that in this terminal generation, we need to be sure that we're part of a serious Bible preaching,
amen,
Bible teaching church that is under the authority of a godly man of God, who there's evidence of an anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon his life and his preaching, just like you and upon your ministry.
Well, you're very kind. I totally agree with that, Gary, and that is a great word to end on. Well, that's Dr. Gary Frazier, author and speaker and the founder of Discovery Ministries International. He's a great friend to the program. And so, Gary, God bless you. I know you have a Bible study to lead.
I do. About to go teach, yep.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, my friend.
Today. By the way, Jeff, it's Discovery Missions International.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. No problem.
Discovery right, Mission.
Love you. Love you too. Your ministry. God bless.
Hope
you.
To see Bye-bye. You soon. God bless
okay.
you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking to a good friend of mine, Bruce Munsterman, and his career in Christian radio. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Just wanted to remind you, Debbie and I will be in Tupelo next Tuesday, March 26th, for a pastors and their wives dinner that is put on by American Family Association. I am told that there are still some seats available, so if you go to AFA Events, you can sign up for that. It's free for pastors and their wives. It's specifically for pastors and their wives. So we're going to have a great time together next Tuesday night. Well, it's a privilege for me to welcome to the program a dear friend, somebody that I have known for a number of years, but I've listened to for many, many years. As a salesman in Houston, Texas, outside salesman, I listened to Christian radio in the car. I was in the car probably 3 or 4 hours a day, listened to a lot of Christian radio. I became very familiar with the voice of Bruce Munsterman. He has spent his ministry career in Christian radio. He is now president emeritus of KHCB Radio. And I saw him at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention with his sweet wife, Lynn. And I said, Bruce, I need to have you on the program so we can talk about your life. So he is on today. And Bruce, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And what a privilege to be here. I think it's even more of a privilege that you call me a good friend. Wow. Thank you.
Well, I, you know, you're a friend to many because the very familiar voice, as so many people listen to KHCB radio and have over the years. I know I did a little research, Bruce. The radio station began on 105.7 there in Houston in 1962. And you came on in what year?
Let's see. Well, I was volunteering. We have a number of volunteers that help us out. So I was in my last year at the University of Houston, and that was probably in about the fall of 1977. And then I joined the staff officially in 1978 when I graduated. I sort of had the privilege of attending the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and migrated to Houston to work, to finish my degree. At that time, Moody only had a 3-year program in Bible education. So I finished up at the University of Houston and did a little bit of internships at an ABC-owned station and did news reporting and also volunteered here at KHCB. So, yeah, the Lord is, you know, when you look back on things, you see how the Lord guides you. But when you're going through it, it's kind of like Abraham. You don't always know where you're going to end up. According to Hebrews 11, he did not know the land for which he was going to end up there in Israel. So
that's exactly right.
Okay. Go ahead.
You came to Christ as a young boy, what, just 7 years old?
That's correct. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian family. My mom and dad my dad was a great businessman and eventually had a number of rental stores, but we always kept the church as a priority, went to school, went to Sunday school, and then vacation Bible school one summer, a teacher gave the gospel plan. I understood I was a sinner. I didn't get any spankings for being, you know, correct. So I stayed in. They said, either you go outside and play with the rest of the children or stay in and make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So it was at that tender age, at 7 years old, that I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've never looked back, never regretted that since.
Now, Bruce, did you feel as a young guy that God was calling you into some kind of media ministry?
You know, Jeff, I have one of those stories where my father rented tape recorders, and I always was fascinated with the announcers on TV programs. So I would, when they weren't being rented out, I would take them home, and I would record the theme song of different television programs and pretend to be the announcer talking right over those broadcasts. So I don't know. I don't know what the bug was, how it got into me. I did grow up listening to Moody's radio stations outside Chicago. I grew up outside in Wheaton, Illinois. Uh-huh. So that had to play a part of it, no doubt. But, there's something that was within me. And, of course, you know, once you get into it, boy, it's hard to get it out of your system. So the Lord's allowed me to be here almost 46 years. So that's amazing. Yeah.
Well,
who can say they've stayed at the same job for 46 years anymore, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And, because
nobody else, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. It's because nobody else will hire me.
No, that's not it at all. Okay, so listener-supported ministry. You know, I'm assuming KHCB doesn't just have a bunch of, you know, three or four fat cats that are funding everything. I mean, you really rely on the listeners to support.
You know, that is the amazing aspect. Since 1962, we started March 9th, so we just finished 62 years of broadcasting God's Word. We've always been listener-supported, never sold time, always been a non-commercial entity, much like AFR. And we're so thankful that God in His grace has supplied. We really want to depend upon God leading. And, you know, how do you know when God's not happy with your ministry? And our board has always felt that God could turn listeners off to us pretty quickly if we didn't do something the way He wants us to do it. So we try to be very careful, and we're very dependent upon Him.
Okay, so Bruce, how do you guys go about choosing who is going to be the preachers on the air?
Yeah, let's see. There was a guy named Jeff Shreve that I knew that actually had a connection, a family connection,
yes,
with KHCB. Your wife's dad was a longtime broadcaster here on Christian radio, having a church in Houston for many, many years.
Yes.
I'd say partly it's you do research on the ministry and find out about it, like Gerald Cannon and his ministry here in Houston. Part of it is just getting to know and listening to the broadcasts and finding out what they're teaching, making sure that it's rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a big key for us. There are a number of factors. Our board likes to weigh in on some of these things as well. So we have a good team that tries to evaluate, and the focus has always been to as we'd like to say, it's the focus of God's Word. You know, what is the saying? There's only a few things that are eternal. One is men's souls, and the other is God's Word. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure we're accurately disseminating God's Word each and every day.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, over the years, have you had some guys that have gone off the rails and you had to take them off?
Yeah, that's always very difficult. You try to counsel people, you try to encourage them. But yeah, that's part of it. We've been very blessed. Most everybody that we've ever had has always stayed true to the Word, and we're thankful for that. You know, that's the one thing that all of us should be praying for, not only for you, Jeff, as a pastor, as a broadcaster, as a Bible teacher. You know, it's easy to get distracted, and I appreciate the fact that many people have told me they pray for KHCB and for me myself, and I certainly am indebted to that. So many things that can get in our way, and you just have to be very careful.
I was thinking somebody had mentioned the name R.B. Thieme to me just the other day, and I know I think I listened to him on KHCB radio. He was a little different breed of cat. So you guys did broadcast him for a while, didn't you?
Several of the members of his church were very instrumental in starting this ministry back in 1962. Actually, the ministry began a little bit earlier. There was a fellow who had a broadcast that was on a secular station, and it was going to change format, and they told Marvin Frainer that his broadcast would have to be discontinued. And so before he went off the air, he said, people, let's pray that someday God would raise a station that would never change its format and always be a Bible teaching station. Mm-hmm. And several people took that to heart, really committed to prayer, and God answered that. About 1961, they were able to buy a small permit from someone who was not going to build the station in Houston. Of course, back then, Jeff, FM radio was not real popular. Everybody said, you're making a mistake. AM should be the key. And yet they've moved forward. And again, as you look back in history, you see how God moves His hand and leads people and guides them. His church had a part in it. He had a part in it. He had a little broadcast. We've had different people on for many, many different years and stuff. And, you know, the Lord uses all of us. It's a wonder He uses any of us.
Is Thieme's church still a church?
It is, yeah. It's Baraka Church. It's still based in Houston. His son now is the pastor there and still teaches God's Word. And we don't have quite the association and affiliation we had years ago. Mm-hmm. But time grows. We've grown, as you know, like AFR. We have a number of other stations that we program, and so it gives us a little more of a global look. And, of course, with streaming now, we hear from people all over the world, let alone Houston.
Right. So, Bruce, what is you just recently became president emeritus, but you're still showing up for work, or are you part-time?
You know, like I say, you can't get radio out of your system. You know, I still do mornings. I'm here at 6 o'clock every morning and get up early and have the privilege of broadcasting every morning, making sure all the right broadcasts are on the air at the right time. We have a unique format in that we try to play music that follows the theme. So if Jeff Shreve is preaching from his heart on Jesus our Shepherd, maybe we will try to find some songs that speak to that issue. And certainly that's something that we like to do, and that's what I like to do. Yeah, President Emeritus, I've served here now for over 32 years as president, and now I'm transitioning to Emeritus, or as somebody told me, Emerititis. It's like a disease, but I hope it's curable. And now we have a new president. His name is Scott Cruz. Scott is coming to us from the Moody Bible Institute. He oversaw Moody Radio and their 70 affiliates. So he is stepping in and really taking on the new task. And of course, you know, as much as we deny it, thanks to Adam and Eve, we all grow older, and we have the need to bring in other people to lead on as we move away.
Now, with KHCB Radio, one of the things that was distinctive in, this isn't everybody's cup of tea, it was for me because this was in my formative years as a Christian, but the music is a lot more conservative, a lot older in its presentation. You know, I remember when KSBJ started, that was contemporary Christian music. We would all agree, anybody that knows about KHCB, it's not contemporary Christian music. It's more older, maybe Bill Gaither-ish, Southern Gospel, that kind of thing. What has been the guiding policy and principle on choosing music?
Yeah, I would say we have a little bit less contemporary, no doubt, and not as contemporary as some of the other mediums that are out there. We still want to play hymns of the church. We do enjoy some of the new choirs and new renditions of some of the great hymns. You know, we're kind of in the same battle as many churches. You know, you have the people who want to just hear the hymns, and then you have the people who want to just hear the praise choruses, and hopefully, you know, worship is a response to God's word. When something that touches your heart, you should, you know, sing out in worship of the magnificence of God, His majesty. And so we're trying to blend music together so that we can reach as many people as possible. We hope also we're teaching a little bit of understanding. You may not like the song that is played right then, but you'll like the next song. And I hope that's more of the attitude in our churches today, because it's not the right thing to be divided over.
No, it's not. And, you know, a lot of it is preference. I've always resonated with that. Of course, I was listening, you know, when I was a young Christian. And so lots of those hymns have rich theology. Not that the newer songs don't. Some of them do, some of them don't. But it seems like the majority of the older hymns of the faith are steeped in theology. It's not just repeating the same words over and over and over again.
You know, one of the fascinations we're doing is giving some of the history of hymns and how they came about, and we publish that every month. And boy, some of the challenges these people went through, and they wrote some wonderful words because of those challenges. Mm-hmm. And to sing them out and then understand the basis of that song, I think it makes it even more of a meaningful issue as we sing it to the Lord. And I hope we're singing it to the Lord and not trying to impress the person next to us.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so for Bruce Munsterman, what do you think the next 5 to 10 years hold?
Yeah, that's a great question. my wife asks me as well. She's hoping that I'll be home a little more often than my duties have allowed me to be before. You know, it's still day by day, step by step. We have a big transition coming in. I grew up in this ministry, and so for me to take the presidency was not a huge change because I was already the assistant vice president and assistant general manager. Jeff, if I could imagine what the Lord will let me do is we'll stay a little bit in broadcasting and then maybe branch out into some other ministries. I have a son who lives near Brenham, managing a Christian Bible camp there. We go up often on weekends to help him do a few projects. He has a very small staff and a very large complex, and he could use some help. God in his grace allowed me to have good health so far, and mm-hmm. You know, you feel like kind of like Caleb. You know, I'm not 80 yet, but he said, you know, give me the high places, give me the hard ones, and I'll take care of it. So I hope to stay active as the Lord allows. My father stayed active, my grandfather, and I hope to continue that legacy if the Lord allows.
Okay, so you not to spill the beans, but you're 67 years old, still playing soccer competitively. That is amazing.
Yeah, I wave on the field. Anybody tired yet? Can the old man come on the field?
When you told me that at the NRB, I was just shocked because I didn't play a lot of soccer, but I know about it. And I mean, that's a sport where you run. You're going to be running.
You run a lot. Yeah. It is a small-sided field, though. I will give that. So anyway, the Lord has allowed me to continue to stay active, and I trust I'll do so as long as He allows.
Amen. Well, we're talking to Bruce Munsterman. He is President Emeritus of KHCB Radio, founded there in Houston, corporate headquarters there in Houston. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. Pastor Jeff here. Don't go away. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to my friend Bruce Munsterman, President Emeritus of KHCB Radio. I became familiar with Bruce just by a radio voice when I was a salesman in Houston and would listen to KHCB Radio. Back in the day, as I would travel around as an outside salesman, and loved his voice and loved the programming, the preaching. Dr. Adrian Rogers was my favorite, and the music. Although that wasn't my wife's favorite, Bruce. I hate to tell you, she was a more contemporary Christian person, but I loved the older music that was on KHCB, and still do to this day. Well, let me ask you this question: since you've been in Christian radio for many, many years, your whole career, what do you think is the future in Christian radio? I know it's changed a lot. And what do you see as you maybe pull out your crystal ball for Christian radio in general? You know, as I've been going to the NRB, when I went to the first one in 2005, they were talking about the death of terrestrial radio, and, you know, that's a dying thing. It seems to be more popular than ever.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff. I think that ministries like American Family Radio, and by the way, just as an aside, AFR has been very helpful to KHCB over the years. I had a chance to meet Dr. Wildman, and he was just a wonderful friend and helper to several of our board members. You helped us with a couple of stations that you couldn't build, and so we were able to work a deal, and we are using those now. So we are very indebted to American Family Radio. Yeah, radio I don't think is going away, not because I don't want it to, but I don't think that the history of media shows that media goes away. The only thing I can think of offhand that has gone away is the old silent movies. But, you know, when movies came out, then, all of a sudden drive-in theaters were going to go away, and those did. But movie theaters still are around, even when, the so-called Netflix and everything came up. Oh, people will never go out again. The way you see things, or in our case, the way you listen to things, may be changing. Now people tell me they listen to us on their phone or their smart device. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they're still listening to the radio. They want to listen to Pastor Jeff and his program. They want to listen to, as you said, Adrian Rogers and get some content. Mm-hmm. So I don't think radio is going away. We're a little bit concerned about the move from electric cars, maybe not including AM radios. I don't know what will happen there. But God seems to use anything and everything for his purposes, and I just don't see radio going away. I think it's just going to maybe take a different form. You're going to listen to it. You remember, didn't we have Walkmans and things like that years ago that we would always be plugged into our ear and kids to turn it off and say, listen, I'm talking to you right now. So the device may change, but I don't think the medium will.
Okay, now one of the things I noticed, so Bonnie Bement, she's still on KHCB?
Yes, indeed. She does her afternoon. She's her assistant general manager, a wonderful gifted lady who just serves the Lord, has a wonderful heart for ministry.
Okay, now she never used her real last name. You always use your real last name. With new people coming on board, especially with women, do you encourage them to maybe use an alias?
Well, I think of the Apostle Paul, who had his friend Epaphroditus. Uh-huh. That's quite a name, but it's not as bad as Munster Man. That is my real name, and you can imagine growing up when the TV show Munsters was a big hit, mm-hmm. and so I would get accused of having my father who had screws in his neck and, a flat head and all that kind of thing. So, well, in this case, we don't really have a policy. Bonnie's husband was a lieutenant with the Houston Police Department, and we felt that it might be wiser not to have her married name on the radio, just out of deference to the work that he was doing, mm-hmm. and didn't want to create any kind of problems. That's a good question. Everyone wrestles with it. I think it's something between you and the individual station you work for. We're not trying to be phony, but we are trying to be wise.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this, Bruce. Been a Christian since you were 7 and been in broadcasting for all these years. One of the things that can be hard for people, especially in media, is you build up these people that you have heard and they've ministered to you a lot, and then you meet them and they may not match this hero you've kind of devised in your head. How have you dealt with that?
You mean like when people see me and are so disappointed that I don't look
no.
anything like they thought I would look like? Yeah, well.
Well, there, no doubt, some of that gives, we don't look like our voice.
Christianity is an amazing issue. We read the Old Testament, we read the New Testament, we paint pictures in our own mind what these people looked like. So it's not that different than radio today. You go and you listen to your pastor for months, maybe years, you get to know them a little bit better, and you find out, wow, they have feet of clay just like I do. They're dealing with the old man just as much as I am. And I think we have to be very careful to not put people on pedestals. It's the simplest thing to say. There are people we want to try to emulate. Even the Apostle Paul said, be like I am. But Paul was not perfect, and it's a good reminder to all of us. There's only one perfect person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to, as Hebrews 12 says, we are to fix our eyes upon Him, Jesus Christ. And while others can walk alongside us and we can walk alongside them, you have to be very careful not to think too highly of others.
Yeah, it's we all have feet of clay. You're exactly right. And, you know, I tell people this all the time. The goal of the Christian life is not to be perfect, because you're going to fail, but it's to be genuine, where you really walk in the light. You deal with sin. If you mess up, you fess up. If you do something that hurts another person, you make it right with them. You deal with things in a honest manner. And as you walk in the light with Jesus, He uses you in great ways. He knows we're not perfect, and we have to get our feet washed on a regular basis so we can walk with Him.
I was just going to say, there was only one who was perfect, and it got Him crucified.
Right. That's right. Your station, just like American Family Radio, has grown a lot over the years. From one station, you have how many stations now?
We now have over 61 outlets.
And, wow.
We're unique in that I think 17 of those are in Spanish. Houston has a large Hispanic population, and now we've been able to reach beyond that. We help another ministry in Alabama and Georgia with Hispanic programming. So, yeah, the Lord has opened up some unique doors for us, and we're very thankful. It's obviously a work of the Lord. I'm not that smart.
Very good. How many employees total?
We only have 15, but we have some wonderful volunteers who help and allow us to go home at night. You know, people realize that radio is always there for you.
Yeah.
You don't realize that you have to have somebody there to make it available. So we're always counting on people to come in. Our volunteers work evenings and on weekends to help us have a little respite and have time with our own families.
Bruce, let me ask you this. So over the years, because you've been on the microphone for many, many years, if you go back to when you first began and you listen to some of those old recordings, do you cringe? What experience do you have?
Absolutely do I cringe. Are you kidding? Most of those I've discarded, erased, or burned if I could find them. There are a few that are fun, but yeah, you just like the Christian life, you hope that you've grown in your professional life and don't sound quite as bad as you did when you first started. So, we're all being molded and shaped. My life verse has been always Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this very thing: He who began a good work in you, which I believe it happened at age 7, will continue to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And I'm a believer of 1 Thessalonians 5:24 that says, faithful is He who called you and will do it. Mm-hmm. And Paul wasn't talking just to radio people. He wasn't talking just to pastors. He was talking to the whole church in Thessalonica and to all of us. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. God has called you, and as Esther was told by Mordecai, it is for such a time as this.
Amen.
So whatever you do, do it to the heart. Do it heartily, as unto the Lord rather than unto men.
Yeah, for you as a radio speaker and president of the radio network, what do you think when you get behind the microphone? If you consider yourself today versus 5 years ago, 10 years ago, do you think there was a sweet spot where it's like, at this age, I felt like my mind was the sharpest, my voice was the strongest? Because, you know, we hear preachers today. Somebody was talking to me about Dr. Chuck Swindoll. Well, he's pushing 90. And obviously his voice is not as strong as it was when he was a young guy, 45, 50 years old. What do you think is that sweet spot for a speaker?
Wow. Boy, that is a great question. I don't know. As I mentioned, Caleb and Moses, who served for so many years, I think, again, that we have to be careful in not putting people on pedestals and having this, what I believe, world image of a pastor has to be of this age, and he has to have this kind of energy, and he has to be able to do this. You know, a lot of wisdom comes from age. Proverbs talks about that. And you want to be real careful in thinking that somebody's, okay, washed up or all done. I don't know what that age is. I hope that somebody will be honest with me and say, Bruce, you just don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
I am still learning. I hope I am still growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as Peter admonished. You know, that's Peter's last words before he probably met his execution. Mm-hmm. And it should be all of ours. I don't care what age. I have a mother who's 95, and yet mm-hmm. she has a wonderful ministry of praying for people. And you know, may the Lord, if he allows me to live that long, you know, may I always have ministry, whether it's on the radio or not. That it doesn't matter what you do. It matters who you are and whether or not you're fellowshipping with the Lord.
Yeah, amen. Well, I heard John MacArthur talk about that, and he said, you know, it's kind of a paradox, because as you get older and in your growth and in your more mature as a Christian, especially as a pastor, there's more that you have in the well because you keep adding and adding and adding. Mm-hmm. He said, but the physical part of it is your voice is not as strong. Your mind tends to not be as sharp, you know, as you get really pushing it, you're 80 plus. And so he said, I have more to share now than I had when I was a 40-year-old guy, but I don't have the energy and the wherewithal necessarily to go as long and to you know, just have everything popping. So it is kind of a trade-off there.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you have plenty of energy. I see you and see all you're doing, and you've added this to your plate. And we've just been amazed. For those who don't know, Jeff was one of the real helpers as we opened a station in Texarkana more than 20 years ago. And boy, when we needed some help, we found Jeff. And boy, what a help you have been. So keep up the good work, and as the Lord allows. What is it, Deuteronomy? I can't think of the exact verse. Is it 33? It says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's right.
So I know it's a promise to Moses and to Israel, but I think it's kind of the same for us today, that God will help us.
Amen. Well, you're my hero. You're a few years older than I am, and I said, Lord, if he can still play soccer, maybe I can still go out and play basketball.
I'll tell you what, it hurts the next morning a lot more than it used to.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for coming on today. You are a blessing, my friend. I love to hear your voice, and just love what your faithfulness to the Lord, your faithfulness to your wife and family, your faithfulness to the ministry, and how you've led a great radio network for all these years, and just wish you all the best.
Well, thank you, and the Lord's best to you and to American Family Radio. Thanks for all you do. I love your program title, Real Truth. We find that only in God's Word. You know, Christ said, thy word is truth. We hope to give out God's word each and every day, whether it's through the radio or through our individual efforts. So Godspeed as you continue to serve, Jeff. Thanks for taking time. Allow me to be on your program, and
well,
we can do it again.
Amen. Thanks, Bruce. God bless you. Well, that was Bruce Munsterman. Bruce is President Emeritus of KHCB Radio. And one of the things I love about American Family Radio is they look at a station like KHCB Radio, and that's not a competitor. That's a brother in the Lord and another ministry that's doing good work and broadcasting the truth. And we are for anybody that's broadcasting the truth and speaking the truth in love, because that's what we're called to do, is to speak the truth in love. And as Dr. Gary Frazier said, the Lord is coming soon. We don't know when. He just told us to be ready. And I believe with all my heart that there is a rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 coming. And so we are to be looking up, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and look up and be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near. The door to the ark is open, but it's only going to be open for a short while. So we need to be telling everybody about Jesus, who is mighty to save. So go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he wants to do those same things in the lives of friends and neighbors and family members. God bless you. Make it a great day, and keep your eyes on Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.